Hey, you want that to go?
Good morning, everyone. Our first takeout may just be a takedown. When the White House and the Justice Department told us that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the alleged mastermind of 9/11, would be tried in Lower Manhattan, it seemed like an immutable fact. But thanks to a local community board, maybe it isn't. Now it's widely believed that that trial will be moved somewhere else. Joining us now to tell the story and where it stands is Bob Henley, WNYC reporter, who's been all over this story. Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Yes, I'm here.
Yes. So, first of all, this is in many ways is a story of security concerns kind of backfiring in the face of the White House and the Justice Department. But it's also the story of a local community board here in Manhattan that turned out it could fight not only City Hall but the White House.
Exactly. In this case, it's Julie Menin, community board chairman number one, who wrote a op-ed piece in the New York Times Weekend Review back in January 17th, in the back page, kind of innocuous, just talking about the idea of perhaps using Governor's Island. Now, Julie Menin is also a lawyer, and she is very much in favor of the idea of a civilian federal trial, if you will. But she thought, hey, listen, let's think out of the box, and Governor's Island, being a former military installation, might be the way to go.
Right offshore, right offshore of Manhattan, just south of Manhattan, Governor's Island.
Right, exactly. And also, at the same time, the real estate interests had gotten a look at what Commissioner Ray Kelly had in mind in terms of securing the area, and they were like, whoa, if they think it's going to take a long time to rebuild Ground Zero without this, can you imagine how hard it would be to get cement trucks in and around there? People have to understand how congested and close, actually, Lower Manhattan is.
So from the community board to the police commissioner, Ray Kelly, suddenly the mayor weighs in.
Right. He calls back on Thursday to Attorney General Holder and says, basically, let's give it another look-see. At the same time, you have to remember that Scott Brown is winning in Massachusetts,
right,
as a Republican, saying that he wants to spend all taxpayer money for weapons to fight the terrorists, not defend them. So the ground's shifting in the White House nationally, locally, and this is why all of a sudden they find themselves in a very difficult circumstance.
Well, let's listen to the sound of ground shifting under the White House. Here's White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs over the weekend.
Well, let me tell you what plan A is for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is going to meet justice, and he's going to meet his maker.
In a federal courtroom or in a military commission?
He will be brought to justice, and he is likely to be executed for the heinous crimes that he committed in killing and masterminding the killing of 3,000 Americans.
Notably, he doesn't say where. Before we go, Bob, there may be a city in New York that would love to have this trial. Explain.
Well, Mr. Valentine, the mayor of Newburgh, which is a town that's seen a lot of hard times, says, come on, we could use $100 million. I mean, it's like a blue light special. The $200 million is what they had suggested it would cost New York City an additional cost. He's like, please, we've got it all here. We've got Stewart Air Force Base. We've got Otisville Correctional Facility. This is the ultimate economic development opportunity of a lifetime.
All right, well, whether it's Newburgh or whether it's Governor's Island, we won't know. There's no real location for that trial at this point. Bob Henley, thanks so much, from WNYC.
Let's go now to sports with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. This weekend down in Melbourne, Australia, we saw two tennis greats continue on the road toward domination. Serena Williams made a winning 6-4, 3-6, 6-2 win. That's her fifth Australian Open title and her 12th Grand Slam singles title overall. And for the men?
I don't think there'll be any tears from our winner. Quite simply, he is the master of the Grand Slam, and our champion for 2010, Roger Federer.
Roger Federer, that was his 16th Grand Slam title, his fourth Australian Open, by defeating Andy Murray in straight sets, 6-3, 6-4, 77-6. So, Ibrahim, is this the kind of dominance like Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods sort of dominance?
Perhaps it's even better. Roger Federer has won 4 Australian Opens, 1 French Open, 6 Wimbledons, and 5 U.S. Opens. What he can do this year at age 28 is actually run the table, win all of the 4 Grand Slams, and he has the mental focus to do it. Tennis players usually reach their peak from age 22 to 25, 26. Right now, Roger Federer is 28 years old, but this is the point where his mental capacity for the game and his physical skills are at a perfect equilibrium. He's going to play his best tennis of his life because he's prepared. Last year at the U.S. Open, you saw that mental strength diminish, and he lost the last set. Now, he's taken stock of where he was last year, and what you saw this weekend with a dominating performance over Andy Murray was the Roger Federer mentally, physically, at his best tennis ever.
So these are two, Serena Williams and Roger Federer, they've been in the game for a number of years now. How much longer can we see them continue to be winning on the courts?
You're right. most tennis players have a 10 or 12 year window. I think right now we're sort of in the end of their reign, but their end of their reign is going to cement both of them as two of the greatest tennis players that ever lived.
Okay, that's sports with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen.
For our last takeout, let's see if we can't put to bed this issue raised by Chris Matthews about a post-racial America.
He is post-racial, by all appearances. You know, I forgot he was black tonight for an hour.
Well, not a lot of forgetting from you folks. Reactions from all over the map on what that meant.
This is Greg from Baltimore, and while I do not like the second part of Chris Matthews' statement, I do like the concept of a post-racial America. All you have to do is watch American Idol and see so many bi- and multiracial contestants, you can't tell what people are by looking at them. And quite frankly, I look forward to the day when things are so mixed up, we just judge people as individuals and can't even tell if we wanted to what they were.
I work with multiple nationalities, and racism is not a white issue. I see and have experienced racial hatred, and I do nothing and say nothing just every day.
This is Marty from Detroit, Michigan. I find it interesting that the president himself had stated that we as a nation need to start talking about race in this country to overcome racism. Now, the few comments that have been made by Mr. Reed and reporters, the nation seems to get extremely upset, and they're light comments in nature. It just shows that we can't even begin to start these discussions.
We're always open to hearing your take on the news and how it's affecting you. You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post it to our website, thetakeaway.org. We're always listening. Coming up...
It is critical that we rein in the budget deficits we've been accumulating for far too long.
We're going to talk about tightening the nation's economic belt as the president sends his budget to Congress. And we want to hear more from you on what lessons you have on how to cut back. 877-8-MY-TAKE.